Hi everyone, it's Eli. You know how sometimes you stumble upon something truly game-changing in healthcare? Well, I found it. Kinetisense. This cutting-edge motion capture technology is transforming movement, assessment, and recovery. Imagine getting instant AI-driven insights without any wearables on your patient. That's right, no ping pong balls needed. Just pure, accurate data. Perfect for boosting athletic performance, pinpointing imbalances, and refining rehab. Top professionals worldwide trust Kinetisense to maximize productivity and results. Check out our partner page to learn more. Experience the revolution in movement. Welcome to Wrap It Up Sports Medicine and More, the podcast that gives you a viewpoint in sports medicine that can't be found anywhere else. I'm your host, Eli Halleck, and we have a fantastic show ahead of us today. So let's get started. Welcome to Wrap It Up Sports Medicine and More. Today we are getting back to some dance and some arts and a whole bunch of other stuff that we love. And that's because of my wife and my daughters. Let's talk the arts. Today, we are joined by head athletic trainer of AMDA, and I'll let her tell us what that stands for because I always screw it up, Stephanie Coffey Lubitz. How you doing, Steph?
Hi, good. How are you?
Thanks for joining us today. And please, before I screw it up, can you tell me what AMDA stands for? I know the school. I just always forget what it stands for.
Yes, of course. So it stands for American Musical and Dramatic Academy.
Thank you so much, because I always screw that up and I don't want to screw it up on air. It's a great university. I know it's one that my daughters and some of her friends looked at while they were starting to think about the arts as a future. Great institution, known for really good things. And how long have you been there?
So I've been here since 2018, so going
Holy moly, you've been there a while. All right.
I've been here a while. I started out as a per diem athletic trainer, and then I got a full-time offer in 2019, right before the pandemic. So that was an interesting time to join.
Oh boy, lots of fun for all of us athletic trainers back then, especially one in the arts. Oof. Yep, that was definitely a rough time for the arts.
Yeah. Definitely challenging being indoors, you know, having to navigate all of that and not have an outdoor option for a lot of our performers.
I remember my daughter's dance studio. They actually put Marley in the parking lot and would dance outside at night. We put spotlights out so they could be out in the parking lot and still dance. But yeah, hard to do. Had to get creative at that point, which, hey, that goes with the arts. So
yeah, sure.
tell us where you came from, how you got to AMDA, and everything in between.
Yeah, so I'm from Seattle, Washington. I did my undergraduate at University of Washington, and I have a bachelor's in psychology, and I have a minor in dance. The interesting thing about University of Washington is they didn't have any sort of kinesiology program, which is really what I wanted to do.
Oh, that's funny.
When you're that young, you don't really, I don't know, you just pick a school and you're like, they'll have something that works for me. So I was kind of on the pre-physical therapy course, taking a bunch of chemistry, biology, all these really hard classes. And then my junior year, I applied for an athletic training internship with the athletics department there, and I got it and I loved it immediately. Had never really been exposed to athletic training before then, really just had been exposed to physical therapy. And I loved the internship so much that I did it for 3 years, even past when I graduated from undergrad.
You were hooked.
I was hooked. I couldn't leave. And then I started taking some prereqs to get into grad school, and I eventually went to Chapman for my master's degree. I was part of their first ever cohort for the master's program there.
And who was the professor in charge at that point?
Jason Bennett.
Yeah. President Jason. I remember him well. Yes.
Oh, yes. Yeah. So that was great. We had a really small class. I loved my experience there. really got a lot of opportunities being in California to be with the arts. So I was able to do an internship during my last rotation with Disneyland. And then at the same time, I was also at the dance clinic at Long Beach State with John Siegel. And so I had both of those opportunities at the same time, which were really cool and different. And right after I graduated, I was able to get a job at Disneyland. And so I worked there for a couple years, 2.5 years.
Taking care of the dancers and
Yes.
other performers, correct?
Yep. And it was really different working there because you're obviously dealing with like workers' comp situations. So a lot of that stuff I didn't learn in school. So it was a really new kind of situation to be put into. But we had a really good team of people. A lot of athletic trainers were working when I was there. We had a whole entertainment team and a separate operational team, but we all worked collaboratively. And so it was just such a different opportunity. And then my last semester, when I was an intern at Disneyland, one of the employees, athletic trainers at Disneyland, got the full-time job at AMDA. And so that's kind of how I got connected to AMDA. She asked me to apply as a per diem. And then I started working at AMDA like about one day a week or so. And then at Disneyland full time. So I was kind of doing both, just trying to like just do as much as I could in the performing arts setting. And then eventually there was a full-time opportunity here and I just could not turn it down.
Oh,
Yeah.
I think we have our second guest. So now we'd like to thank Carlin Corral, who obviously is an athletic trainer. So she was off doing athletic training stuff and able to join us. Thanks for coming, Carlin. Thanks for joining us here today at Wrap It Up Sports Medicine and More. How are you?
My pleasure. I'm doing good. How are you doing?
I'm peachy. As I said earlier, I'm almost caffeinated. So it's almost at a perfect level for the day. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So if you could tell us a little bit about yourself, Stephanie just gave us her background, where you came from, how you developed into the athletic trainer and got to where you're at now.
So I was born and raised in Southern California. I played a variety of different sports growing up. When I reached the high school level, I started to figure out what I was really, really good at, and I chose the dance route. I started dancing more at like the competitive level, and I decided to pursue that in undergrads. I went to Cal State Long Beach and pursued a bachelor's in arts of dance science. And so what that was is that we were able to dance and take all the like regular classes, but we also had to take anatomy and phys, chem, bio, all of those other types of kinesiology courses that actually helped me get into grad school. So those were all prereqs, and I was still able to dance during that time, which was great. I experienced my first significant injury. It was a high hamstring strain in my dance
Ow,
career, so to speak.
ow.
Yeah, it was brutal and it took about 8 months to fully heal. And during that time, I met John Siegel, who's the athletic trainer at Cal State Long Beach just for the performing arts, so basically just the dance department. And during that time in school, I was actually contemplating if I was going to go into the physical therapy route or maybe potentially occupational therapy, but I was unsure. And then I met John Siegel and he was like, you've got to check out athletic training. It's
The
very
heavens opened, the
hands-on.
angels
Yeah.
sang, and
Yes, and it was such a great experience because he had workers or students at the time there in each semester. And so I actually met Stephanie there when I was in undergrad, and just meeting all of those students really opened my eyes to this world and this profession. And so I decided to pursue a higher education in athletic training, and I took a year off to get all my prereqs in order, take the GRE, and do all my hours. And then from there, I went to Cal State Fullerton. Started in 2020. So that was a rough start
that
of
was a lot of online school at that point. Oh, bummer.
lots of online school. Our first in-person semester, we were the only ones on campus besides the nursing and physical therapy students. And we had to work with one partner the whole semester, face masks, everything on the field. It was quite an experience. And unfortunately, we weren't able to start our first clinical rotation until spring 2021. So that pushed us back a semester. And we graduated in December 2022, I believe. Yeah. So about 2.5 years in the program, which was a little tough.
I know a few of the Cal States elongated the programs during COVID because of that hands-on situation. And because of that, instead of the normal 2 years, it was 2.5. As a preceptor at Cal State Northridge myself, I have a lot of interaction over at Fullerton. I know Professor Melissa very well. Don't hold that against me, or don't hold that to a higher standard, depending on whatever. But Melissa's great.
He's great.
Yeah, CSUN, man, it was really rough for them and all the other students, because you didn't get the hands-on experience that you really want in our profession. I mean, let's face it, this is a tactile profession. And as it sounds like, correct me if I'm wrong, both being former dancers, one with a bachelor's, one with a minor, tactile. I mean, we're tactile people. We want to be figuring it out with our hands and analyzing, and that's hard to do when you can't.
100%. And just learning all the skills online and having to work with our family members as our models and perform these skills over Zoom was just a whole different ball game. Like it was so difficult. And the one thing that was a blessing in disguise is that we had all of our didactic work done the first year. And so it really allowed us to perform well in our exams. But when we got to our clinical rotation, I like had all this knowledge of like what to do, but I didn't really know how to apply it. And then with all the regulations of COVID, I was pretty much doing like testing and check-ins when I was working my first clinical rotation, which was track and field. So I didn't have a lot of experience during that first clinical rotation. And by my second year in the program, I felt pretty behind when it came to my clinical practice. But I would have to say that second clinical rotation, which would have been my second year of the program, I feel like I really excelled and learned so much. And that was my growing era of the program, I would have to say.
You graduate, and what happened at that point?
Right before I graduated, I saw another former Chapman alum post about the position at AMDA, and I reached out to Stephanie over Instagram and was pretty much like, do you remember me? Like, we met a few years
ago. Please remember me. Please remember me. Please.
Yeah, and so she was like, I'll keep in touch with you. Like, we love for you to apply. And I applied and got the position about 2 months after graduating. Yeah.
Oh,
right
damn.
When spring
so
semester started.
You get something you love right off the bat.
It was a lot of manifestations, I would have to say. Very
and
fortunate.
You both went to such great programs. UW, as Steph knows, I haven't mentioned this to Carlin yet. I've got a special place in my heart for Chapman. That's where my daughter went to undergrad. Absolutely love it. I can't say enough about the school, the people there. I mean, let's face it, even though they closed the program down, Kai Kugler was there. You can't go wrong when Kai's around. He's such a great guy. And he knows I'm just sucking up because I like him. But Kai's a great guy. It was a great program. Beautiful campus.
Beautiful.
You get such a quality education. And the food around there is great. Oh, man. The
barbecue. Amazing.
A barbecue place right there on the circle called Smoked. Oh, it's my favorite barbecue place in California. Oh, my God. I go there whenever I can, but I'll stop. I'll talk about that for an hour. Anyway, so background in dance for both of you, right, Steph? You did
yeah.
dance. I mean,
yeah.
Not many people realize dance is huge in Washington. It's actually really, really good. What were you doing up there that got you interested in doing dance as a minor in college?
I didn't really talk about this earlier, but I had a similar background to Carlin. I did like competitive dance. So my mom put me in dance around 3 years old or so. And then I was just in love with it. And
tap and tutu. Was that the class?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Tap and ballet. I think that's what we all start with. And
Yep,
then
yep.
you slowly just start getting into all these other styles. And I just fell in love with it. And when I went to UW for my undergrad, I saw that they had a dance minor as an option. And I just knew I had to do that. I ended up also dancing still competitively in college on a team that allowed you to do that till you were 21. It was the Westlake Performing Group, which was really close to University of Washington. So that was really cool as well. So I was still dancing competitively, minored in dance at University of Washington, and then obviously my other classes as well. When I didn't really know that you could work in the performing arts as an athletic trainer until I got the internship with the University of Washington Athletics Department. And Mike Dillon actually is the person who gave me that internship opportunity and was such a mentor to me. And he connected me with John Siegel, who we both talked about was like really pivotal in our development as athletic trainers in this setting. And he was the one that mentioned, there's, you know, I used to work at Disneyland as an athletic trainer. And I said, are you serious? I didn't even know that they had athletic trainers there. That's so cool. How would I get into something like that? And then he kind of helped me pick where I wanted to go to grad school, and thought that Chapman would be a really good fit for me because it's a great program and the location is right where I want to be to like work in the performing arts. So that's kind of how I got connected into that world. And I just being in it, and even when I worked with Carlin, you just realize that this population is just so underserved and in need of help and education and how to take care of their bodies, and understanding that they are athletes as well. And so I just think it's so rewarding to work in this space and be able to educate young adults and help, you know, develop them, kind of shape them into who they're going to become in their dance career. Really cool.
Completely. And Carlin, what about you? What was your dance background that really pushed you into this direction?
I also started with ballet and jazz and tap and all the things. And I did that until I was a senior. And then when I started my dance journey in undergrad, that's when I started to tap more into the performing arts for athletic training after I met John Siegel. But with the dance science program at Cal State Long Beach, it was incredible. We had to take two semesters of Pilates and the anatomy for the dancer. And it just opened my world to athletic training for the performing arts. And I think what really, really pushed me was walking into John Siegel's athletic training clinic and seeing all of the equipment and the Pilates reformers and chairs and the treatment tables, and just the whole vibe felt so warm and nice. And at that time, I was also going to physical therapy for my hamstring, but I felt like I wasn't receiving enough care, and they didn't understand the level that I was dancing at in college. So I felt like I was able to connect with my athletic trainer and athletic training students a lot more than my physical therapist. And because they just know like the positions that we had to put our bodies into and just the high demands of the sport. So seeing those athletic training students and John Siegel work their magic on the dancers, that like, it just, I was sold after that.
And Steph, you said something earlier, dancers are athletes too. And, you know, one of our first episodes, I think it was episode 2 or 3, we started saying that we had two colleagues on that they actually run several dance competitions nationally and do a lot in the dance industry with teams and studios and yada, yada, yada. And I used to go to all those competitions with my daughters, inadvertently became the athletic trainer for the teams and the companies. And next thing I know, I'm traveling with them on their professional teams to Northern California and Utah, which I loved. Oh, that was so much fun. But oh my God, dancers are so tough. They are so mentally tough and physically tough. I would tell my football players all the time, yeah, give me a dancer. Give me a dancer.
Yeah.
And I've said this multiple times. The first time a dancer looked at me behind stage, I know something's wrong with my foot. Just tell me what it is. And my comment was, I know you broke it. You broke your metatarsal. You know, you should really go get an X-ray. You should get da 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 da. Okay, thank you. What? Yeah, I'm on stage in 30 seconds. I just need to know what it is.
Yep, that
And
sounds good.
and you guys are laughing, and I laugh because now I know. At the time, my jaw hit the floor. I'm sitting there going, "But no, yeah, no." And they look at me. Okay, see, Eli, thanks for letting me know it's broken. I'll take care of it later. Can you just throw a little tape on it for support? And oh my God, the respect I have for those theatrical athletes and just what they can do with their bodies, how strong they are, how mentally tough they are. Damn, they're awesome. I mean, I love them. I love working with them. I still get to work with a few, which is awesome. But I'm kind of jelly a little bit of you guys. I'm very jealous because, man, you get to work with them every day. It's anyway, I'll stop.
I believe the motto is the show must go on. So,
Yeah. The athletic trainer is not allowed to stop the show. God, yeah, I learned that real quick. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. So you guys are going now. You're a team at AMDA. And what is a normal day in the theater arts, performing arts, athletic trainer?
I'll start. So we have a clinic on campus, and the clinic is kind of in the heart of our main classroom building. So we're in the center of the building on the fourth floor, and surrounding us are dance studios, other classrooms, things like that. So we're really in the day-to-day here, which is really cool, and that's why I love being as an athletic trainer, because you just get to see so much and you can go peek in on classes and you're interacting with students every day. Sometimes the same people every day, and faculty and staff. It's just wonderful. But we're open 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., Monday through Friday. That's when students can come in and utilize the clinic space. They can make appointments to see us. We really try to push an appointment basis here so that we can stay super organized. Because one of the unique things about this specific setting is that we are available for the entire school. So we're not even just here for the dancers. We are here for everyone that goes to school here. So, acting students, musical theater students, anyone can make an appointment to see our team. And so, with that, we have to really make sure that we're staying as organized as possible because anyone can technically come in and request services from our team. So, we found that creating an appointment-based structure really helps with that. We do kind of block out times where we have like class prep, where we think, okay, there's going to be people coming in a lot at once during this time. Let's not try to have appointments during that time so we can be available to tape, get ice, heat, whatever people need. And then we also encourage students to come and utilize our space when we are open to warm up, do their exercise programs that we've created for them, roll out, utilize our self-massage tools. All of that kind of stuff, so that it is that kind of traditional feel to an athletic training clinic where we have people coming in and out throughout the day.
And I see Carlin nodding her head going, yeah, that's about right. So
That's about right.
what do you got to add?
So, on top of that, we really try to prioritize preventative care. So, we offer, well, I'm not sure if Steph told you, but we're both Pilates certified. So,
I did not
yes.
know that. I saw that on your background. I was going to bring that up. Awesome. Because
Yeah.
as we all know, Pilates was created by dancers. So fantastic.
Yep. Yeah. So we went through the same certification through BASI. It's a very well-known certification over the whole world. And we are both certified in the mat, reformer, chair, Cadillac. So we use our certification to work with a set number of students who sign up. And for the first 2 weeks, we ask them, like, what are you experiencing during class? What are some deficits that you're seeing? Things in like ballet and jazz, like specific turnout, or they can't reach above a 90 degree arabesque, something like that. We will develop this Pilates program for them based on their needs, and we teach them their program for the first 2 weeks. And then after that, they come in every week, and it's as if they're renting out the space. So they'll come in with their AirPods or whatever and use their program, work out for that half an hour, and then they're out. And we're still in the clinic, but at that time, we're working with other students in their appointments. That's been really awesome just to be able to tie both of those two passions of mine together. and to also work with dancers and just their abilities, like their range of motion and stability. You can really put them through some hard programs if needed. So that's been really great. And then some semesters we do offer workshops. And so we're in charge of reaching out to faculty, staff, whoever we think would be necessary for a workshop. So that's been super fun too. So lots of programming opportunities here.
I love how you both and in your medical facility take care of everybody. We're the same way at our institution. We are the healthcare period. That's it. Anything, even coughs and colds, unfortunately. But, you know, hey, they know where to go. But I love how you reach out because, let's face it, at your institution, just like mine, the teacher slash coach, whatever you want to call them, the instructor is a former dancer, or in my case, a former football player, former basketball player. They still have all the aches and pains that creep up as they're demonstrating in class, and they need our help too.
Yeah, definitely. So as Carlin kind of mentioned, we offer a lot of educational wellness programming, and we do this each semester. A lot of what we offer is tailored to the dance population because they are the most injury prone. We see them the most. They're dancing sometimes 5, sometimes 7 days a week if they're cast.
Wait. Dancers are injury prone. I find that hard to believe because I watch my wife and my daughters do all this beautiful stuff over the years, yet they walk across the floor and trip on a what looks like a piece of felt. So I don't know what you mean about dancers being, I guess.
That is so true because that only time I've injured myself as a dancer is like walking off a curb or doing something silly like that and not actually
all not on the stage.
Yeah. And we see the same thing here, you know, with our dance. Sometimes they get hurt doing the silliest things. You're like, what? How? I don't understand. I just saw you jump like 50 feet in there.
Yeah, you just leaped, did a pirouette, and then flipped at the same time, and yet walking across the floor, you trip and sprain your ankle. Yeah.
Yes. Nope.
Okay.
But kind of like playing off of that, so much of our programming, like Carlin mentioned, is preventative. Like we work on preventing injuries here and educating our students on how they can prevent themselves from becoming injured. And a lot of that's through developing cross-training programs like the Pilates programming that Carlin mentioned. We also coordinate group fitness classes on campus each semester.
Oh, that's so cool.
We try to like really tailor it towards the dance population and give them classes that help to increase their strength, because what dancers need is to get strong, right? And we don't want to be stretching and trying to be as flexible as possible. We're already most of the dancers are hypermobile already. So what they need is strength. So we really tailor our programming towards that.
And just like any athlete, they think they're stronger than they really are sometimes.
Oh yeah. Yep.
Oh,
and
yeah.
We do some screens and things too with our first semester dancers. And that's really telling even for them. You know, they're like, they realize that they're not as strong as they think they are. Right. And then we can talk through ways to help improve their strength and make sure it's individualized. And we really try to take like an individualized approach as much as possible. It's hard when it's a huge school that you're caring for, but when we can, we really try to develop programming that meets the individual's needs so that it's really specific to their what they have going on with their bodies.
And it looked like Carlin had something to jump in and add a second ago. Was there something that you wanted to add to that?
Piggybacking off of what Steph said, we do find when we work with these first semester students just fresh out of high school, a lot of these students won't come to us with their injuries right away and think that they're able to bounce back really quickly, just like they were able to a few years ago. But as we start to age in life, things, injuries don't just disappear within 24 hours. So it's a lot of education, especially like the first few semesters for those new students.
Talk about age and injuries not going away. I feel them right now. I know what you're talking about. Yes, unfortunately.
Same.
And I'm way past that freshman year. So yeah, ow. You brought up some really, really cool comments earlier that I want to kind of go back to. You were talking about Pilates, reformers, programs that you do. And if you've never seen, for anybody listening today, if you've never seen the Pilates Cadillac, it kind of looks like a torture device made in the, you know, mid 1400s that was probably like hidden under a hollowed tree in a cave where somebody tortured you to death. But it's okay. It's for rehab. It's legit. You have all this really cool equipment. What kind of facility do you guys have? What's the square footage? How are you able to utilize that space for optimal performance? Elevate your knowledge, ignite your curiosity, and compete with the best minds at events hosted by the American Academic Competition Institute. AACI's sports medicine competitions feature practical exercises, challenging quizzes, specialty tests, and keynote speakers that foster knowledge and social engagement in healthcare and sports medicine. Go to AACITest.org for more information on upcoming regional and national competitions. Sign up for the Ultimate Intellectual Showdown.
I would say our space isn't big by any means. We have two treatment tables. We have one Pilates reformer that's kind of an apparatus that also has a tower extension on it. So it's almost like a Cadillac and a reformer in one. It just doesn't have the full cage around it. And we got that to preserve space in the room so that we could still do Cadillac-like exercises, but not have to have a full Cadillac in such a small space. We have a springboard as well, which is something that attaches to the wall. So that's also a space saver. But yeah, our room is not big. We have over the years expanded it, which has been nice. And we also have now a gym just down the hall from us.
Oh, very cool.
A small kind of student gym. So we can also go in there. There's ellipticals, free weights, a cable machine, spin bikes, benches, things like that. So sometimes we'll take students in there for rehab programming, especially if our room gets busy, which can happen in the athletic training, obviously.
Really quickly, right?
Very quickly. It can get very crowded. Yeah. So we've done what we can to kind of use the space that we have. And I think that's why we do these individualized Pilates cross training programs. We have to do them one-on-one because of the space, and we only have one reformer, and the students really gravitate towards Pilates because it's so, the name is just so iconic, Pilates, and it's trendy always, and dancers really buy into it because it feels similar to dance on their bodies, and so it's like a sneaky way to kind of build in some stability and strength training and have them do it without maybe them even understanding really fully that that's what they're doing versus being like, here, lift these weights. Most dancers are going to be like, oh, I don't want to lift weights. You know, they have this conception that it's going to make them bulky and things like that. So that's why Pilates has been such a big hit with, especially with our dance program here.
Oh, I'm going, I agree. Yep. I don't know a dancer that despises or dislikes Pilates because it just makes them so much stronger, more flexible. But half the time they're already there flexibility wise. It used to blow my mind. My youngest was the most flexible. She'd stand up, do a backward bend, grab her ankles and roll like a tire. Oh. And I sat there going, what are you doing? Do you have no spinous process? don't do that. And my wife would laugh because, well, she was a dancer and I had no idea. I just sat there going, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, you're hurting, you're hurting, you're hurting. And then she'd, you know, pop right up and go into a scorpion, hold the scorp. And I'm sitting there going, please don't do that. But strength, flexibility, and the combination just makes them, in my opinion, probably one of the top athletes in the world.
Definitely. Yes.
And I'm going to get a lot of crap for that from my football players, but they can just shut up because I know it's true. You've both been at AMDA for a few years now and enjoying your stint. What seems to be something that if you could add or change a little bit at AMDA to improve the situation, what do you think would be something you could do to improve the situation?
I would say trying to build strength-based courses into the curriculum would be really useful. Yes, because we have to create that on our own here. And there is not a lot of incentive for students to do the programming that we have, right? It's not part of their classes. So sometimes, unless it's part of their class or a requirement, they won't go, unfortunately. So to have something built into the curriculum to give them that strength-based coursework would be so beneficial. And so we've kind of like slowly been trying to push that a little bit. We have a fitness and injury prevention course that we offer for our first semester dance students, which is great.
You both teach that, or one of you teach that?
We don't currently teach it. I have taught it in the past. Right now it's a dance faculty member, but we work collaboratively with them on some of the curriculum, the programming, and dance screenings and things like that. So that's a really great course offering that we have. And that class also requires the students to attend the group fitness classes that we put together. So they're kind of getting a little bit of an introduction to the importance of strength training and dance. But I think that is something that I would really like to see in the future, is having more strength-based coursework built into the program throughout their time here. So like over time, they're doing more. Maybe it's progressively overloaded. Maybe they have more Pilates classes that are built into the curriculum, things like that.
Love it. Yeah, collaboration with other colleagues could make everybody's life a lot easier. And what about you, Carlin? What's something that you would like to add or tweak to make it even better?
That was exactly what I was going to say, actually.
Great minds think alike. There you go. Slam dunk.
Well, we're both Aries, so we very much think alike.
My daughter would love that quote right there. There you go. That's it. It's a drop mic moment for my oldest right there. Yep. She always goes back to that. Dad, you're such a Gemini. But what do you mean by that? Yeah. So, you know, she just looks at me. You proved it again. Yep. You're at AMDA now for a while. You've identified some stuff that you'd like to grow. The programs are getting better. When do you see the most need for your skill set throughout the year? So when is the, for example, let's face it, high school, I'm at an all boys school, so you can imagine how that is. So Friday nights, August, September, October, yeah, we're on, that's it. In the performing arts, it's a little bit different. When is the big time? When is that key spotlight on you for AMDA?
So we call it our football season.
But to me, that's a step down from dance. But okay, got it.
We are currently in our football season. So spring semester is the craziest as far as injuries, no breaks, just go, go, go with all the shows. And it's pretty wild to see just the difference of spring semester compared to summer. So the students can take a semester off, and majority of them will choose to take summer off. So that's why summer is a little lighter. And then fall semester, we get all the newer students, the first semesters, and it's a little busy, but it's a lot of patient education, getting them to come into our clinic and doing our dance screens with those first semesters. However, they get a lot of breaks during that fall semester. They get a few days off for Thanksgiving. They get a few weeks off for winter break. And then when we approach the spring semester, we only have 1 week in between that transition from fall to spring. And during that week, a lot of the students will stay on campus because we have so many international students not going to fly all the way back to like South Africa or Australia. So they stay put. And then it's just such a quick turnover that they don't really have a lot of time off. And then when they start that semester, spring semester, they don't have a day off until Memorial Day, which is usually week 13 out of 15 weeks.
Oh, they're going nuts by that point. They're just like jumping out of their skin, literally, I'm sure.
Oh, yes.
You're both like, oh, yeah.
Yep. And we're in week We're currently in week 5, and this is when we start to see things happen slowly. People are starting to
Slowly.
down. We're seeing some overuse injuries already, and because we don't have a spring break, we don't get that built-in time off for them to really rest. That's why, as Carlin mentioned, spring is our busiest semester, most injury-prone semester every year.
I love how you call it the football season. So, I mean, as an
Yeah.
athletic trainer, I get that. Now, as an athletic trainer in another industry, performing arts or military, they might not get it, but if they ever did a season of football, yeesh, I mean, you understand it. And I always wondered, I know that the busy time for me when I was working with performing arts was definitely the day of the big show. You know, getting everybody ready, making sure I had the right. God bless Mueller when they started coming out with different colored tape. Oh my
Yes,
God. Yeah.
agreed.
I gotta say
Yes.
that. Shout out to Ginger Mueller, if you're listening today. You're still gonna be on the show. We gotta find the day. But Mueller Sports Medicine, when they decided, hey, white is great, but let's go with some tones. And then they came out with the beige, quote unquote, skin tone. Well, that was a nice start, but let's face it, it doesn't quite tone with everybody. And they started coming out with different. I grabbed onto that so quick, and my dancers loved it.
Yes.
We could go with the same tape for whatever they were wearing that day and kind of blend in. But you've got to get creative sometimes that day of the show because somebody was walking across the floor and tripped on a piece of paper and sprain their big toe. And yeah, they got to go up on point. Good luck with that. What are some of the things that you've done over the years that you're sitting there going, how the hell did I come up with that? Because dancing, performing arts, you're not allowed to put on a huge brace because they got to look like everybody else on the floor.
Yeah. And what's interesting is you don't want it to look like they're injured, right? Because it's supposed to look effortless. And as much as they are athletes, we don't want people to know that almost. When, like, we don't want the audience to know, right? It has to look perfect and
Effortless, just like you
effortless.
said. It's
Effortless.
supposed to be perfect,
Yep.
effortless, like it's nothing when it's one of the hardest
Wonderful.
moves known to humankind. I don't get it.
Yeah, it really makes it very challenging for athletic trainers. But I would say, like you mentioned, having the different skin tones, especially for KT tape, which is what we use a lot, especially for shows, because it stays on so long, having the different skin tones is so helpful. And so what we actually do is we have a couple boxes of those, the variety of skin tones, and we only use those for shows. Like, we don't put them on anyone except for shows. And then we have regular black KT tape that we'll use for when they're in classes because it's so much cheaper. So we try to save the expensive skin color stuff for when we're trying to, make it blend in so it doesn't look like they have an injury. And then we also have this unique thing where we have to almost get it like approved by the director and the stage manager because we don't want it to
Yeah.
kind of clash with the
Don't want it to distract.
right or distract. And we've had injuries and things where we've had to have a student wear an ankle brace on stage, and it just is what it is, a big black bulky ankle brace. And that's where she was at in her return to play, and she had to wear it, and we got it approved, and she was able to perform, and it was fine. Yeah, it was a little distracting, but didn't matter because she got to do what she loved, which was great, and she was graduating, so I'm glad she was able to perform. But yeah, I'd say that's one of the unique things that we tried to kind of create here is how can we use that expensive tape, but not every day, right? Did you have anything else, Carla, that you can think of?
I feel like that is one of the things that we're most creative with because, on top of getting it approved by the stage manager, we also have to take in consideration all the costumes. So, a lot of these students are in multiple dances, and each dance is going to have a different costume. So, we've had to make a game plan where we've had a dancer wear a few pieces of KT tape for the first like two dances, and then they had to take a few pieces off in order to wear that or the next costume. And then by the end of the show, they're not wearing any KP tape. So just like making that game plan for, it was a few students actually, I think last summer, was really unique and something I've never had to do before. So yeah, that was fun.
Same with cupping too, like treatments like cup.
Yes.
We can't
Can't
apply.
leave those marks. Can't leave
Yeah,
those marks. Oh my
can't leave those
gosh,
marks.
yeah.
Exactly. So during show week, we have to ask them, okay, if we cup this part of your body, is it going to show in a costume? Because that's something that we need to get approved by the director and the stage manager, you know, things like that. So maybe we don't do that treatment or that modality that week. We do it the week after, something like that, or do something else.
I
So.
got to share one of the funniest things that I never thought of when I was doing the stuff or doing performing arts. One of the dances they were doing, and again, quick changes, gotta love them. You understand that. I understand that, but never thought about it in taping. They were dressed as boxers and their wrists were taped. So they looked at me, how quick can you do a wrist? I'm like, no problem. How quick can you do 16 people? Both wrists back on stage. I'm like, let's find out. So in it, the day before we practiced it, and they went, okay, great, Eli. They just missed their dance. I'm like, all right, shift. What are we gonna do? Wait, I got it. And we created, taped everybody, cut it with two cuts, marked them on the palm so we know whose they were, and then pop them back on with two pieces of tape right before they went on stage. Everybody was done. It was perfect. I would never do that in football. I would never do that in soccer, basketball, baseball. But it was perfect for the performing arts. You have to be creative sometimes and think outside the box.
Yeah,
Yep, definitely. That's
Even an old guy can think sometimes.
it.
This is fun. I love this. If, somebody comes knocking at your door and they say, hi, I'm from Joffrey. We're looking for a head athletic trainer. How exciting would something like the Joffrey or American Ballet be to you? Because let's face it, a university is fantastic, but it's like the pros. You hear those names and everybody knows what they are. In the fact that we're getting to the point where those professional companies are starting to look at athletic trainers as a resource. How exciting would that be if you ever got that call?
I think it would definitely be a great opportunity. You know, when I was getting into this profession, I always thought I would want to work in the professional setting, but working at the collegiate level is just so incredible. I love this age so much. I love being able to help, like I said before, kind of be a role model to these students and help shape them into the person that they're hopefully going to become. And because a lot of them have never had exposure to an athletic trainer before, it's so cool to be that first experience for them and be able to educate them on how to take care of themselves and seeing them start from that first semester, shy, maybe like a little bit weak dancer, you know, to graduating and just watching them become the most incredible version of themselves. And then even just continuing to connect with them after they graduate and see where they go, it's just so rewarding. And so I think that's what just keeps me here and keeps me coming back is those connections that I've built with these individual students. And not to mention the faculty are incredible here too. Our dance faculty are so talented and they are just such gifted teachers. And so it's really cool to be able to work with them as well. So I think I would turn it down. So that's what
All
I was.
right, there you go, folks. You heard it right here. Now, what about you, Carlin?
I would have to say, fresh out of school, that would have been an amazing opportunity. But I now being here for 3 years, I've laid my roots down and I agree with Steph. I just absolutely love watching these new dancers and performing artists come into this program and leave and graduate and get signed by major companies and see some of our former dancers on stage with Dua Lipa at the awards. It is really rewarding. And I also think just being in the heart of Hollywood too is incredible because we We're right here. We're next to Capitol Records. Our performing arts theater, the Cosmo Theater, is a 5-minute walk. So we have to walk through the heart of Hollywood. And it's just such a unique area. And you
Talk
just really
about
feel
giving the
like.
students a perspective walking through Hollywood in the performing arts. I mean, wow.
Yeah. So I would be very honored. And I would also think about it again if that was an offer, but it's just hard to envision myself somewhere else right now.
I get that. As a person that's been at the same high school for 27 and a half years. Yeah, I get it. You find your space, you find your area, and it feels like home, and you're good. Yeah, somebody could call and say, I'm interested. I love where I'm at. I love the people I work with. I love the impact I make. And that's what I'm hearing.
Yeah.
As a staff, you make an impact. And, you know, we don't get in it for the money, although it's good to pay the bills. You do it to make a difference in somebody else's lives. And that's why healthcare is a calling. You do it to help others. And it sounds like you both feel like you make an impact there. And
thank you.
I know we both have clinic to take care of today, and we have students getting ready to come in. So I don't want to take too much more of your time, but I'd like to ask you each one more question, if you don't mind. And Carlin, we'll go with you first, which isn't fair because now Stephanie gets to think of her answer, but it's all good. If you can look back at your younger self, and again, don't go too far back, maybe 5, 10 years, and think about what would you tell yourself, some advice you would give yourself to help you along a little bit easier, to make you a better clinician or a better person or better in your profession, whatever direction you want to go. What advice would you give your younger self that somebody listening might be able to utilize?
Oof. I think about this question all the time, actually. I think the biggest piece of advice I would give my younger self, take any opportunity. I feel like I turned down many opportunities because I was nervous or unsure, especially when I was in middle school and high school and college. I started to, you know, come out of my shell and experience more things. I feel like in high school, I was so unsure if I wanted to pursue dance after high school, because I just didn't know if that was going to get me anywhere, or if I was going to get injured and have to start over somewhere else or whatnot. And there was just so many nights where I would talk to my mom and my dad about my decision that I would be making when I was applying to schools. And I was just so hard on myself when I knew deep down in my gut that I was on the right path, and I knew that I still wanted to dance, and I knew that it was going to open so many more possibilities for me if I pursued that. And I decided to go for it. And I don't think I would be where I am today if I did not pursue that degree in dance. And I wouldn't have met John Siegel and Steph and all of these amazing and intelligent humans that led me to where I'm at right now. And I feel like now I am very much, I will take any opportunity and just experience. And there's just so many opportunities in life. And I think it's important just to say yes and go for it. Don't be nervous.
Totally agree with you. Totally agree. But I got to say one thing. You are bizarre. Who thinks about that question all the time? Oh my God. Steph and I are both looking at each other. What? You think about this question? Damn. Wow.
It's because I see a lot of things, you know, on Instagram and TikTok. Like, what would you tell your younger self? I'm like,
oh really?
Gosh, what would
I? I don't follow TikTok. I sit there going, oh God, no, this hurts my eyes. This hurts my ears. It's hurt my head to think about what they're saying half the time. But that's because I got gray on my goatee. I'm old. I love it. I love it, though. That's awesome. And Stephanie, you had a few minutes to contemplate. So your turn to answer that question.
Yeah, before I answer, I just want to say, Carlin, you definitely take every opportunity now. I feel like with just like all the things that you've been taking on the last couple months. So just know that that you're doing that, which is so cool. You've been like
Thank
given
you.
so many recent opportunities and you've been doing it all, which is just amazing. So you inspire me so much.
Thanks.
But I think that for me, I would say make sure you prioritize creating a healthy work-life balance. That is like my number one thing.
Ooh, that's so important and so hard to do in our field. We're not good at it.
Yeah, so hard. And I just think, you know, it's not something that we're really taught, or it wasn't something that I was taught in school. And as athletic trainers, we wear many hats and we're kind of just doing it all. And especially during the pandemic, it was like, at least for me working here, and we became, you know, involved in so much of like the reopening of the campus and COVID-19 protocols and all these public health things that it was just so much. And so I have in the last couple of years really worked to prioritize creating a healthy work-life balance. And I think that by doing that, you can be, you're a better athletic trainer. You're providing better care to your patients. You're not coming to work feeling overwhelmed and burnt out. And that, and because of that, you're able to provide better quality care to your population. And so I've been telling my students that, even my athletic training students that come in fresh out of school or per diems, like you have to prioritize a work-life balance for yourself so you can be the best version of yourself. And so with that, that's why we create this really organized appointment schedule, which helps so, so much. So I would just say that to any athletic trainer getting into the field, just do what you can to prioritize a healthy work-life balance for yourself.
I got to be honest, the I call it younger because I'm older, younger generation of athletic trainers coming out, you are so much better at life balance than any of us ever were. The generation before me was horrid. I became better with time. My wife will argue that some weeks out of the year, usually the football season, but I try to do it. But your generation of athletic trainers is so much better, and you see the importance, and that's going to lead to far fewer issues medically, mentally, socially. So God bless you. I'm jealous a little bit. Yeah. Stephanie, Carlin, it was an absolute pleasure meeting both of you today. This was really fun. The time flew by. I love it when I get to talk about, or let me rephrase that. I love it when I get to talk with colleagues and we discuss the performing arts. It's just so near and dear to my heart. Obviously near and dear to your hearts. I hope you have a wonderful day today. I hope you don't have a typical Friday night like I do during your football season today. I hope it's a just a nice steady flow of good things today for you. And thank you for being on Wrap It Up Sports Medicine and More.
Thank you so much for having us. This was so fun.
Yes, thank you. We love chatting. So the time really flew by.
Well, we'll make sure to have you back on another day. Have a great weekend. We hope you enjoyed this episode. Want to make sure you hear every episode? Remember to like, follow, and subscribe to our podcast. Don't forget to share our podcast with your colleagues, family, and friends. Your support will help more people find and enjoy our content. Wrap It Up Sports Medicine and More is directed by Eli Hallett. It is produced by Gabriel Hallett. Our theme music is by Coma Studios via Pixabay. The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are solely those of the contributors. Want to know more about us? Visit us at wrapituppodcast.com. That's with one P, wrapituppodcast.com. Wrap It Up Sports Medicine and More is a production of Hallett Consulting, LLC.